So for today, I was going to start with a reading. I don't have the book on me, but I found the passage. It's from this book called The Book of Awakening. And it's a book, it's like a book of short stories, basically. You know, I'm the yoga teacher as well, so it was nice to have to read little things here and there. But this one, I've always remembered, and it always sticks out. So I'm going to read it real quick and discuss it a little, and then we'll do some meditation. So, an aging Hindu master grew tired of his apprentice complaining, and so, one morning, sent him for some salt. When the apprentice returned, the master instructed the unhappy young man to put a handful of salt in a glass of water and then drink it. "How does it taste?" the master asked. "Bitter," spit the apprentice. Now you can imagine, right? The master chuckled and then asked the young man to take the same handful of salt and put it in the lake that's nearby. So the two walked down to the lake, and once the apprentice swirled the handful of salt in the water, the old man said, "Now drink from the lake." As the water dripped down the young man's chin, the master asked, "How does it taste?" "Fresh," remarked the apprentice. "Do you taste the salt?" asked the master. "No," said the young man. At this, the master sat beside the serious young man, who so reminded him of himself, and took his hands, offering, "The pain of life is pure salt, no more, no less. The amount of pain in life remains the same, exactly the same. But the amount of bitterness we taste depends on the container we put the pain in. So when you are in pain, the only thing you can do is enlarge your sense of things. Stop being a glass, become a lake." Right at the beginning, they have a nice little quote. I wanted to read it after, by this guy, Wayne Muller. "The more spacious and larger our fundamental nature, the more bearable the pains in living." So this has a lot of really important stuff in it. First and foremost, you know, the handful of salt, right? Pain is a natural part of life. We don't want to hear that, right? We want to hear meditation is going to make all your pains and difficulties go away in 2 weeks. Take 3 seminars with me and you will be forever blissful and at peace with everything, compassionate 24/7 and floating through life with ease. It's not true. It's not true. That's not how it works. Been doing this for 12 years. Seriously, like going on retreats for 10 days where that's all you do is meditate. You're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to read. You can't write. You can't have your phone. You're not even supposed to look at other people because glances can get the mind stirring as well. I'm not fully blissed out all the time. Right? But that being said, are there fruits to this practice? 100%. Is my life completely, profoundly different from 12 years ago? Absolutely. But it's also the same in some sense, right? I still have the habitual patterns that I've had since I was always me, right? And we all know our patterns. We all have these habitual patterns. And it's not that we eradicate them with this practice. It's that we become spacious enough to accommodate that. And we learn to be unmovable. Inside, I'm talking about. Unmovable when these patterns come in. And the patterns could be anger. It could be frustration, aversion, depression, anxiety, addiction. Fill in the blank for the, fill in the many blanks possibly, right? For all the visitors that you have on a daily basis, right? So, you know, hearing that pain is just like a natural truth of this existence can be depressing, but it can also be a relief, right? That life is hard. That if you're struggling with it, that's fairly normal, right? So when I hear that, it's like, oh, I'm not screwed up, right? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not failing. I'm not being punished by life or something. It's just I'm a human being, and it's very difficult to be a human being. Why? Well, we have a body that ages, that can get sick, that has to die. That's pretty intense. We come into contact with people and things and situations we don't like. We can't hold on to things we do like. Every moment is uncertain. Right? A truck could come plowing through this. Hopefully not. Knock on wood. Right? But who knows? We're on a planet that's unstable and a universe that's unstable. That will cause anxiety. And then we have a mind that loves permanence, even though there is none in this world, but wants it and loves it, loves to feel secure and comfortable. So it's difficult. Anybody not struggling with life, I'd like to meet you. You could have your $5 back. Or actually, this is free for you. So pain is a part of life. Meditation is about just realizing what's true and lining up with that. Right? And we all have this sense of entitlement, not in the normal way of like, but the entitlement of life's supposed to make me happy. Or it's supposed to give me what I want. But whoever said such a thing? When you came out of your mom with the instruction manual, said life's supposed to make step one, rule one, it's supposed to make you happy. No. Life is what it is. Always. And it's always now. But life, that's another story. But life is what it is. And the analogy I always use is imagine a person going outside every day, getting angry, yelling at the sky, "It's not red! Again! Why is it blue?" All right, so that's one way. That's what most of us do. But then there are other people that can just go outside and say, blue sky, of course. And you might say, well, what the hell does that have to do with my life? Well, this is what we do all the time. Right? We want things to be one way, but they're not that way. And we fight it, and we resist it, and we create so much unnecessary suffering. And our world keeps shrinking and shrinking, not because of life, but because of the walls we keep putting up. It should be this way. There's one wall. You should be this way. I should look this way. I should feel this way. And then before you know it, if life doesn't fit in this tiny little bubble that you made, you're miserable. And you keep blaming everybody else. But it's our own stuff. And what's so great about this story is it reminds us that we're not trying to solve life. There's no solution. That's another important thing that I just heard that maybe last week someone was giving a talk. And it made so much sense. All the stuff we try to do every day, we're scrambling around for a solution. Maybe you came to meditation for the solution. Or maybe exercise, or maybe therapy. You want to solve it. You want to solve your difficulties. You want to solve the mystery or the pain. There's nothing to be solved. Right? And this is what it's saying in the story, is that we have this potential to be a lot vaster and to be unmoved by whatever arises. And that's literally what you do every day when you sit in meditation, which is why it's so important to sit every day, because you take your seat and you sit upright and you stay there no matter what. And all these thoughts come, all these feelings come, sensations, maybe aches and pains, your foot falls asleep, you hear people outside throwing weights, whatever they're doing out there. And you just leave it all alone. You're not grabbing hold of anything. You're not pushing away anything. You're just literally becoming like empty space. And you're holding everything. And you're big enough to allow everything to come and go. And that's the other truth. Right? Everything comes and goes. Nothing in this world lasts. Right, even plastic, give it enough time. It'll eventually go away. Right? And how is that helpful for us? Well, when you're in a bad mood, you feel like that's how it is forever. When you're in it. And you feel like you need to do something to escape it. And this is where addictions start. It's where a lot of unwholesome things start. When you're yelling at somebody who made you mad, that's you trying to escape. I don't want to feel this way, and if I yell at you, I'll feel better. Never works, but we continuously are trying to escape. Meditation teaches us to stay. Right? I know that's not the answer you want. And you can try other answers if you want, but I feel like you'll be coming back eventually. I tried the crystals and it didn't work. Or I tried this and still have my anxiety. Of course you do. It's your good friend. All right, so we learn to be spacious. You know, so we come in here with all these expectations, all these ideas of what we're going to get and how it's going to be. Throw them out. They're not going to help. They're going to actually prevent you from relaxing into what's here. Right? So if you have the idea, I'm not supposed to hear sound, it needs to be quiet. This ain't the place then to meditate. Right? There's plenty of sounds here. If you think, well, my mind should be empty and free of thought, good luck. What's that? You know, good luck. Thoughts aren't a problem. Sounds aren't a problem. Feelings aren't a problem. It's that we go after them and we make them into a big deal. So we can have this equanimous, I love that word, equanimous mind, this mind of equanimity that is spacious enough to allow experience to pass through. And it doesn't mean you become passive your whole life. It just means you're free to choose how to respond each moment. Right? Think of our day-to-day routine. Most of us aren't even paying attention. You ever drive and you're like, how the hell did I get here? When you were walking from your car to the gym, did you feel the breeze on your face? Did you smell the air? Did you hear the cars? Or were you like, oh my God, I'm going to be late, or I got to get to this? Right? We miss our lives because we're too busy thinking about it. Right? We're unconsciously thinking. It's called mindlessness, and not the good mindlessness. The unskillful mindlessness, the busy mind that is always going and thinking and keeping us from living right here, where we can only be, right? I'll say it again, every class I say it, this is it. Right here. Where else can your body experience life? Anywhere? This is it. And once you really get that, me saying it doesn't, it's not as profound as it is. This is it. When you get that here, when you get that experientially, you finally relax. You're finally grateful. You finally appreciate your life. Because this is the one you have. This is it. This is the moment you have. And we spend so much time, waste so much time, fantasizing about this other life that we want. This future me that's 10 pounds lighter and less anxious. Not here. Or the past me, the old, younger me. So much more happy and fun. Not here. The only thing you have to work with and be at peace with and be grateful for is you sitting here in this room. Try to be somewhere else. And don't get out and walk out. That's not funny. You can walk out, but it's still now. And you're still who you are. And it's still this moment. So if you're waiting for happiness some other time for some other conditions, it's not going to get here. And how many times, and let's be honest, how many times have you received exactly what you wanted? Are you completely fulfilled yet? It's like, oh, once I lose that 10 pounds. And you lose that 10 pounds, and you're like, well, now my nose looks a little too big. I think I need to change my nose now. And yeah, I lost weight, but my legs are still big. What's up? Never satisfied. So we have to wake up. When are we going to be satisfied? When are you going to let yourself be alive? And just be at ease, right? It's this body and mind that you have. It's not perfect, right? We all have bad habits. annoying family members, difficult people at work, difficult home situations, some of us struggling with loss, illness. That's it. Those are the ingredients. The ingredients of your life. This is what you have. And you know, meditation is kind of saying, stop whining about it and use it and do something. Do something with your life. Stop resisting reality and do something. Ease the suffering in the world. Ease the suffering in yourself with this practice, and then go out and ease suffering in the world. There's really nothing much more that needs to be done than that for a fulfilling life. You can make all the money in the world, but when you're laying there in hospice, I've seen many people in hospice, they're not like us. Thank God I have $3 million in my bank account. Doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying give your money away and quit your job, no. But just keep in mind what's valuable, what's really valuable. Right, here we all are, fairly healthy, able to be here, involved in this practice. Maybe your first day, fine, but you're lucky enough to hear it. It can really help. I wouldn't waste time doing all of these classes and doing all these talks and spending hours away from my family writing for my books and things like that if I didn't believe that it could do something for you. You know? I know what it's done. I've been practicing. And a short time, 12 years is not a long time. Now maybe by the time I'm 30 years, I'll have a little wisdom. But you just keep deepening and deepening. And just the more you practice, the longer you dedicate yourself to it, things just fall away. And I'm not going to get into that because that was the talk on Wednesday. So if you want to listen to things falling away and that identity and all that, you can listen. I posted that one. But yeah, so, you know, what we want to do is be spacious enough to accommodate whatever arises. So think of this, if it arises, it belongs. Something's happening in your life, it's part of life. Right? So we're trying to, there's a quote, I don't remember who it's by, but they say, nothing human is alien to me. Right? Same idea. Anything that happens in this life, I want to experience it. I want to understand it. I want to attain some wisdom with it or cultivate compassion with it. And I want to learn to live wisely, not a slave to my habits and my mind and my feelings and moods. And I want to help other people. There's a lot of suffering in this world, if you haven't noticed. I'm sure you can see plenty in your own life. And there's a lot worse. So how can we be spacious enough to hold it? To hold the suffering of ourselves and the world, and to still get up and to still be upright. Right? The posture in meditation is symbolizing that. I'm going to be unmoved. I'm going to be upright no matter what arises. That's why we sit this way. There's purpose. And then you take that dignity and that courage and that fearlessness and you bring it out into the world. And life keeps, you know, beating you up and you just keep getting back up and upright. And you slip up, you do something unskillful or unwholesome and you get right back up. In meditation, we follow the breath. We'll do that today. When your mind wanders, guess what? You just start back over. It's never too late to start over. To forgive yourself and start over. I do it all the time. Right? I mess something up. I yell at somebody. Okay. And I learn. What triggered me? What else happened that added to that? You know, things don't just happen. There's causes and conditions. What were they? Can I make a commitment next time I'm in a similar situation to respond appropriately or differently or from that spacious place? Right, so this is a life practice. It's not just about de-stressing for 20 minutes. It doesn't help you. It might de-stress you for 20 minutes, But when things in your life fall apart, or you have a difficult situation or feeling or person, or how does this help? That's what my goal is in teaching these classes. How do we bridge the connection between sitting on a cushion and facing the joys and sorrows of our lives? So that's kind of what this story is about, in a nutshell. So if you need a quick stretch, actually, any questions before we do our sitting? No stupid questions. Good? All right. So we'll get into a comfortable seated position, as comfortable as you can. And if you're sitting like this, you might want to have your feet on the cushion, or the mat rather, or a blanket. You want your butt higher than your knees, so you can have your butt on something. And if you find that your hips are tight like this, then just shove even more stuff on. All right. Get as comfortable as you can. Again, this is not necessarily the most comfortable position, so just do your best with it. And Jane does the kneeling, so if you are interested in kneeling, you can check what Jane's doing. Let me get my timer here. So let's make our minds spacious, right? And see what happens. So for the session, you don't have to respond to me. You don't have to do anything. Just listen and follow the instructions as wholeheartedly as you can. So I start with the bell three times. By the third time, try to be in the position you're going to stay in. And if possible, don't kill yourself, but if possible, try not to move. Everyone hates that instruction, but it's important. So do your best to not fidget. If you have to, you do it. I'm not going to come wacky with this stick.
Can I dim the lights a little?
Yeah, we can dim them a little more. You know where they are?
I think so.
Okay.
Is it inappropriate to have my legs straight out if that was hurting my knees like that?
I mean, just listen to your body. If you want to, you might, if you can get comfortable like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. Or if you want to try maybe tilting them a little bit, like wider. Just do what feels right for you. What you can sit comfortably for. So hands on the knees or in the lap, sitting upright, shoulders relaxed, and we can close the eyes for the remainder of the meditation. So just listen to the bell three times. Let the sound flow through. So as always, we begin by simply arriving. Life is now. So whatever you're experiencing is your life. There's no other time, no other place, no other you. There's just this. So if we want to become spacious around it and ease into it, first we need to show up. So start out by just seeing what it's like. You can imagine yourself as a mirror. And as you know, a mirror just reflects. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't push things away. It just receives what's in front of it and gives a clear reflection back. So use your awareness to just get a clear picture of sitting, of breathing, the state of body, the state of mind, the sounds you hear. Nothing's left out. And you're not looking to change something. You're not looking to get rid of something. Just look to see, to clearly see, what is my life in this moment? What is this? And let's take a look a little deeper at all the various things happening right now. So start with the most obvious, which is your body, sitting, breathing. And we know we have a body because we have sensations. So touch into the immediacy of your experience and see what it's like. See what the body feels like sitting and breathing. Notice all the sensations. Maybe some pleasant, some neutral, and maybe even some uncomfortable, unpleasant ones as well. We're not picking or choosing, we're just seeing all of them with that spacious mind, large enough to accommodate any sensation. You can notice, you know, your feet kind of underneath your legs, what that feels like. Your legs cross, notice, could be pulsing, tingling, achiness, numbness. Just feel what's there. That's all you have to do. The world won't end if you move, or if you don't move, rather. Your legs don't fall off. So just feel whatever's there and relax with it. Feel the pressure of your bottom on the cushion or blanket, whatever you're sitting on. Feel the hands, wherever they are, resting on the knees and the lap. Notice what they feel like. A lot of sensations in the hands. What does it feel like to have hands? Experience it. Notice the torso moving with each breath. The belly might expand a bit, the ribs, the chest may even lift a tiny bit. Feel everything. Very subtle, but you may be able to feel the air moving against the skin or your face. if there's anything else that I didn't say but that you feel, well, feel that too. And as you observe, try not to take what you're feeling personally. Not an easy task. But don't let it become me or mine. Just let it be something floating in awareness. Nowhere to land. Nothing to hold it. Nothing to push it away. Almost like all these sensations are just floating in space, coming and going. Part of sensations in our body is, or are, our emotions. Maybe you have some stress floating around still from the work week. Maybe a little anxiety or uneasiness. Maybe peace and joy right now. Whatever it is, again, same instruction. Let it just float on through. Not me, not mine. Just a changing sensation. Shift from the body to the sounds. So as we sit here, yes, we feel we have a body and there's all these sensations, but there's also sounds. It's part of life in this moment. And just like the sensations, sounds come and go. So just simply let the ears do what they naturally do. Receive sound. Don't judge it. Don't label it. Just hear directly the sound. And listen carefully, because there's a lot of sounds. It's just like the saying, in one ear, out the other. Let it be just like that. If you listen really carefully, you can hear this very subtle ringing in your own ears, or a humming. One teacher calls it the sound of silence. It's not really a sound outside of us, but it's just kind of a natural internal sound. So see if you can hear that possibly, that stillness, that hum underneath all the noise. Shift from the sounds to our thoughts, another dimension of this moment, whole lot of thoughts rushing by. Again, we normally think that that's bad. Meditation's not supposed to have thoughts. But your mind's an organ that thinks. You're not mad at your heart for beating. You're not mad at your stomach for digesting. So don't be mad at your mind for thinking. You haven't failed. If you're paying attention, you didn't fail. So just bring attention to your mind. Think of your mind like this rushing river that all day you're in the middle of getting tossed around. But for right now, you're just stepping out. Not a big deal when you're watching it. Wow, that's one fast river. So just observe your mind. It might be commenting or narrating. It might be planning the rest of your night or your weekend. It might be thinking of an argument you had 2 weeks ago. Don't try to get involved. Don't try to make it some other way. Because that just adds more waves. Just makes it that much faster and stronger. So watch it as if you were watching a movie, or a river, or clouds in the sky. Just let all these thoughts arise and cease. Start to notice that the thoughts that arise by themselves. You're not in control most of the time of what arises in the mind. Things just keep popping in. If you could shut it off, you would. But you can't. Not in your control. So why do we keep identifying ourselves as it? So we need to ask ourselves. So just observe. See that it's impersonal. That's not who you are. And see that every thought that arises goes away by itself. That's the secret to the practice, that your thoughts go away by themselves. So try to actually get an experience of that. This agitated mind coming and going. And if you have any, notice the gaps. Who are you when there's no thought in your mind for a brief moment? You don't disappear. So there's more. There's more to the story here than just thoughts. So let's bring the attention back to the body. Now that we're a little more present, that's basically our experience now. Our eyes are closed, we're not eating, there's no strong smells. So life in this moment comes down to body sensations, sounds, thoughts, and feelings. So those are the ingredients, that's what we're working with. So now we relax into it. We become even more spacious and open. We just keep going deeper. So we'll start with three deep breaths. In the nose, out the mouth. So take a nice deep inhale. And slowly out the mouth. Good. In again, bigger breath. Let it go. And last one, biggest breath of the day. Just let go completely. So allow the breathing to settle back in a natural pace, in and out of the nose. Maybe a little deeper than usual. So all that means is allow it to go into your belly. Soften the belly so that when you breathe in, it has room to expand and fill, and then naturally releasing out. And we'll just make sure that the body's relaxed so that we didn't get tense in this whole process. Or maybe if your legs are hurting, that you're not squeezing around it to try to get away from it. Just we'll let go. So start with the forehead and the eyebrows. Soften everything there. Eyelids gently shut. No straining, no squinting. The face, the jaw, separate the teeth if they're touching. Drop the shoulders away from the ears. Arms are heavy, hands and fingers relaxed. The torso, especially the ribs, so that they can expand, the belly. Coming down to the hips, make sure you're not lifting your legs off the mat. Let them flop down. They may be sore, or achy, or just feeling strange. That's fine, just relax. Relax the legs, relax the feet, the toes. All the feeling will come back. So see if you can relax. Even if it's uncomfortable, try to soften around it. So feel your whole body now. Completely still, fully at ease, nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to impress, no certain way you need to act. Just this moment as it is. No struggling, no resisting. Just a complete letting go into whatever's here. So from this place of relaxation, let's just bring the attention to the breathing. You can either focus at the tips of the nostrils, the air going in and out, or the expansion and relaxation of the belly. So whatever you can focus on the easiest, more easily, focus right there. And see what this next breath feels like. Go right to the next breath. What does that breath feel like? And And we gently hold our attention with the breathing until we get distracted, which may be very quickly. Not a problem. Start over. As soon as you realize your mind is not with the breath, you can even say to yourself, thinking. And then remind yourself, what does this breath feel like? Let me look, let me see, let me feel. Maybe for the next minute or a minute and a half, just seeing how fully present you can be with each breath. It's not a long time, so give it your whole attention. Where's your attention? Where's your mind? If it's not with the breath, bring it back. So focus on one more breath. So give this last breath all of yourself. Feel it from start to finish without wavering. And then let it go completely. Let go of the breath. For the last minute or so, expanding your attention, your awareness, to hold everything. Holding this moment, holding each other in this room, holding all of life as it is. Just be that mirror. Moment, I'll hit the bell one more time. Hear it fully and try to hear the moment it goes back to silence. Together, we can take one more of those deep breaths in the nose, out the mouth. Very slowly begin to wiggle the fingers, the toes, maybe circling the body a little bit. And finally, stretching out your legs, massaging, stretching. And whenever you're ready, you can take your time, can gently open the eyes. How are we doing? Maybe a little sore in the legs. It's normal. It takes a long time to get the position that's right for you, to find the cushion that's right, just for your blood flow to get used to pretzel legs. But a little discomfort's good for you. We don't grow when we're comfortable. So as far as, you know, continuing, I kind of extended the beginning of the meditation, but generally what you want to do is pick a time. So it might be 3 minutes, 5 minutes. The normal prescribed time is 20 minutes. It's a nice period of time. But you obviously do what you think you can commit to. You can get the timer, Insight Timer app. It's got bells that you can pick. You can set the time. And then, you know, you sit down with it. You press it. Obviously, you listen to the bells just like we did. You take a couple of deep breaths. You relax your body. Make sure you're not sitting there like a ball of tension. And then just start watching the breath. And that's like your anchor. And that's training your mind to stay. And more importantly, to realize when you're pulled out of the moment. Right? Before you can get spacious, first you need to get concentrated. Why? Because if you have no concentration, then when you're out in daily life, every little thought and mood and feeling and emotion is going to sweep you away. Because you haven't trained in letting things go and in seeing things clearly. So for a while, maybe like your first year, maybe more, I know it seems like a big deal. No one likes commitment anymore. But for that first year or so, really focusing your mind on your breathing until it can settle down there, until you realize when your mind is moving, where it's going, and you can start to see those things. Then in daily life, this is when you start to really free yourself. This practice is about freedom, not about stress relief. Do you get stress relief when you do it? 100%. There's a lot of physical benefits. That's not what I, you know, push. Because I think that's the tip of the iceberg. I think it can go so much deeper. Freedom. Freedom from our mind. Freedom from our sense of self that's always complaining about everything. Me world, that's what I call it. Stepping out of me world and coming into life. And being spacious enough to hold it all. You know, so start with the breath. Spaciousness will come. But start with the breath so that you can realize and train yourself to realize when your mind has moved and when you're not present anymore. It's not that it stops happening. You know, I drive for my day job. I'm driving a lot. There are times when I'm gone for a while, and then I'm like, and I just come back. My whole life is training my mind to be present with what I'm doing. And that's what's great about this practice. It's not just something you do for 10 minutes once a day. It's how you meet every moment of your life. And you can train yourself to be present for every moment of your life, and to pause, and just pay attention, and stop that mindlessness. Pause the mindlessness for a moment. All of those little things add up. So besides sitting for whatever you can do a day, and I really would recommend it, right? Happiness is in your mind. Suffering is in your mind. Everything that you do, every action you take, every word you speak starts in your mind. And how many of us do any training? If happiness is dependent on our mind, maybe we should start training our mind. Maybe we should look into that. Great, we're physically fit, we eat healthy. We still don't know how to deal with our anxiety, right? We still don't know how to deal with thoughts, obsessive thinking, worrying. We don't know how to deal with grief when we lose somebody. We don't know how to deal with illness when it comes to us. Right? So all of these things that we're doing are great, keep doing them, but do they add up to anything when life gets tough? So that's where this practice comes in and why I think it's so important. Maybe life's not tough right now, but it will, we're one phone call away from things changing, right? And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this is real life. This is how things are. Life changes, sometimes for the better. That's always nice. Sometimes, not so much. What do? What tools do we have? Do we have a practice that can hold ourselves and hold our difficulties? And hopefully now the answer is yes, you do have a practice. At least you know about one. If you choose to practice, great. I'll support your practice. That's what I'm here for. That's why I have my cards, my site, I put this stuff up. I have Facebook stuff, I have Instagram stuff, posting quotes, reminders. Because I know how important that is for me. And I want to make sure that I give that to you guys. Because if I can keep you committed to this practice, your life will change. And I'm not, in a good way, in the, the profound way. And you can go through the rest of your life with what one teacher calls profound okayness. I'm not promising you happiness. Happiness is conditional. Based on you getting what you want, and that doesn't always happen. But profound okayness, this equanimity, this contentment with how things are, is your potential. So I'd be happy to help you in any way that I can. But please practice. I'll hold you accountable if you want. If you come every week, I'll ask you how your practice is going. If you have questions during the week, I give cards with my number, my email, my website. So don't feel bad reaching out. This is my passion. This is what I want to do with my life. So, don't feel like, I want to ask him, but I don't want to bother him. He's got a family. He works. I'd rather be writing you an email about meditation, trust me. So don't feel bad. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And see you next time, hopefully.
Yeah.